brush. She claimed that in spite of his physical problems, he took special pleasure in working to exhaustion, because afterward he could sit and look at the beauty of the forest and the distant sea, and truly enjoy it, his busy brain stilled. After the guide left, Russ said that he hoped it was true, but doubted it. Not for the first time, the changeling wished it had discovered humans before 1932. It would have been interesting to watch the centuries go by, see how people changed. After the tour, they climbed farther up the mountain, to where Stevenson and Fanny were buried. On his stone, the familiar inscription, "Under the wide and starry sky, dig my grave and let me lie. Glad did I live and gladly die, and I lay me down with a will. This be the verse you grave for me. Here he lies where he longed to be. Home is the sailor, home from the sea, and the hunter, home from the hill." "I wonder if he really meant that," the changeling said. "Gladly die. Was he that ill? Or maybe he was talking about the natural order of things." "He was gravely ill," Russ said. "But it wasn't in Samoa. He wrote it in California, a long time before he got here and his health improved." The changeling took his hand, and they looked at the stone for a few silent moments. "So what do you want to do for the rest of your snow day?" it said.
"I don't know. We could build a fort and have a snowball fight."
It laughed. "I have a better idea." About a kilometer back down the hill was a quaint 20th century hotel, where they spent a couple of hours under a ticking ceiling fan, making love and then quietly sharing their life stories. Russ did most of the talking, but then he thought he had lived a lot longer. They got back to the project site just before dark, and for appearance's sake, went their separate ways. Russ going downtown for dinner, and the changeling getting a sandwich at the beach concession. The changeling assumed that their secret wouldn't be a secret for long. In fact, it was out before they left their hotel room, since the clerk had recognized Russ. On Samoa, gossip is a varsity sport, a high art. The clerk had a cousin who worked at the project, and every native employee knew some version of the story before Russ and Ray came down the hill. Everyone else would know in a day or two. But they wouldn't know it all. Russell couldn't sleep that night. He liked women, but was married to work. It had been almost 30 years since the last time he would have called himself in love. But there was no other word for what he felt for Ray. He couldn't get her out of his mind. How lucky he was, how much this day had changed his life. He didn't know the half of it. Chapter 38, Los Angeles, California, 25 June, 2021. The fingerprints betrayed the changeling. The real Ray Archer had her driver's license renewed, and her fingerprints went into the Homeland Security database. In a fraction of a second, a computer flagged them as identical to a set that was in a CIA database. The CIA thanked Homeland Security for the information and said they would take it from here. Everybody working on the Poseidon project had unwittingly provided latent prints to a Samoan dishwasher who was employed by the CIA. When the CIA found that there were two Ray Archers with identical prints, one of them employed in a super-secret foreign scientific project, they went into high gear. An apologetic man from the LAPD showed up at Ray Archer's place and said he had to do the driving exam fingerprints over. They'd been misplaced. The real Ray Archer was pleasantly surprised that the state would come to her rather than asking her to come back downtown, but wished they'd given her some warning. She looked a mess. The handsome officer didn't care, though, and neither did the woman in the car behind the telephoto lens. Back in Langley, in a bland building that had served the same function for 60 years, agents looked at the evidence and considered what was possible, what was legal, and what they would do. They had several minutes of video of Ray Archer, somewhat harried mother of triplets, and six JPEGs of Ray Archer, lab assistant in Samoa. They were at least superficially the same woman, a very attractive Japanese-American. That they had shared features and figure was unusual. That they shared fingerprints and retinal patterns meant that the one in Samoa was a new kind of spy, perhaps a clone.